WTF1 presents Hot Takes Wednesday.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of Hot Takes Wednesday. If you're listening to this and thinking, that's not Dre, you would be right. Dre is still on a well-earned holiday. And if you're also thinking, well, that's not Hannah either, you would be right again because she's also on holiday. So you're stuck with me this week. I'm Charlie. Hopefully you recognise my voice or maybe even my laugh, which many of you pointed out on last week's episode. So thank you for that. But since my colleagues have completely deserted me, I have an extra special guest from our WTF1 talent programme who just happens to be an incredible content creator as well. Herlon, thank you so much for coming on the show this week and saving me from speaking to myself. You guys at home may know him better as F1 Namchilla, but do you want to introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners and what kind of content you make? How did you get into F1?
Yeah, first, thanks for the invitation. You know, it's a pleasure to talk about Formula One always. For those who doesn't know me, I'm from Brazil. I started to create content in 2022, actually 2021. And in 2022, I decided to do some wild stuff and travel around the world watching Formula One races. So far I've been to 22 races already.
Wow.
16 different ones, and some of them I just repeated. So for example, Silverstone was the second time. Here, Barcelona, Monaco, and some of the races I'm still pursuing to go and everything. But yeah, one of my goals is show to fans which grandstand they can choose, which race they can go, which one is better than others. So showing to the fans how it is from the fan perspective, being around of the track, under the rain sometimes, walking more than 2 kilometers to arrive to the track, and how shuttle bus works, public transportations on weekend, on race weekend and everything. So our purpose is showing experiences on motorsport. So this year as well, I did some Formula E already in São Paulo and here in London. Recently, I went to MotoGP in Silverstone. It was amazing, very different atmosphere. And yeah, so we are trying to go to motorsport experiences, different categories to show fans how it is and everything. And it's been awesome so far, learning a lot with fans, you know, because on a grandstand, you can find the ones who start to follow Formula One from 2017, got in the Drive to Survive wave, but also you find the real nerds of Formula One that they know everything from the past, and it's such a nice thing because you can learn with both sides. And yeah, and they become friends, you know, because everyone likes pretty much the same thing, and it's Formula One. So it's a little bit of my history.
Have you been a fan of Formula One all your life, or is it just like a recent thing?
No, I've remember my father waking me up when I was 5 years old. I was born in 1991. So in that time when I was born, having Senna winning and driving, I couldn't see him properly. I just saw on YouTube, on videos, but I remember my father telling me stories about him, other drivers. But the driver that I remember most is Schumacher. I saw pretty much the Schumacher entire career. So no, but yeah, I'm being a fan since I was a kid, actually.
Oh, lovely. Well, I am really excited to have someone new on the show this week because I love hearing other people's opinions on things. And I know Dre and Hannah so well that every week I can almost bet what they're going to say now. So I'm really excited. But in case, as Dre always says, every podcast is someone's first. So today's show is Hot Takes Wednesday, where you send in your spiciest F1 hot takes and we rate them on a scale of 1 to 5. one being that we strongly disagree, and five being that we agree. So are you ready to get started?
Yes, always ready. Let's do it.
Okay, so the first hot take is from Lazarmurf, and it says Mick Schumacher goes to Williams and has his career ended by Alex Albon. I'll say that again. Mick Schumacher goes to Williams and has his career ended by Alex Albon. That's quite an interesting take. Do you want to go first or do you want me to take it?
You can go first.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, firstly, I guess we're assuming that Logan Sargeant gets replaced in 2024, which could be entirely fair. And there have been a lot of rumours surrounding this idea at the moment. But I don't think that Logan has done too bad this season to warrant him not being given at least another year to see what he can do. He is a rookie after all. I think Logan is at an extreme disadvantage in that Alex has been driving exceptionally well. He's been pushing that car so far past its limits that it shouldn't even be possible. So I think in that sense, he's making Logan look worse than he actually is. But I can see where those rumours are coming from and why that could happen because of Mr. Toto Wolff. He does look after his drivers. He did everything possible to get Esteban Ocon into F1. He did the same for Nick. He had a good relationship with George that was almost promised him that Mercedes seat. And now he's got Mick under his wing. He's also very good friends with James Vowles, who used to work with Mercedes. So I do see it happening. But if that does happen, Alex, I think he will do better than Mick. And I do think that Mick is a brilliant driver as well. But I don't think that we've seen enough potential from Mick, really. From his time at Haas, I'm not sure he's going to pull anything else out result-wise that Logan couldn't have done. Maybe just a tad better from having, you know, years under his belt in Formula One already. But I also don't think that Alex is going to ruin Mick's career. It's not going to be like career ending if he goes against Alex Albon. But I also think that Alex could move on to another team, a midfield team, because he should have a lot of people knocking at his door. Considering the start of this season, he's done so well. So I don't know, it probably wouldn't be the best move for Mick, but I'm not convinced it would end his career. What do you think?
Yeah, so my opinion is pretty much close to yours. But first, let's imagine that Mick will return to the grid next year. I don't know. As you said, Logan still have his contract. Rumors are saying that he will be out, but we never know how it works. But let's say that he lose his seat and then Mick comes, because as you said, these rumors have like some truth behind, because the Toto is friend of the Williams chief. But I don't think the name of the guy who sent the task one for us?
Oh, his at was Lazarmurf.
Lazarmurf. As he said, I don't think Albon has the power or the talent necessary to end driver's career. I don't think is that the case. In the other hand, I think Mick will drive as he will his last chance within the category. So I don't think he's gonna miss the chance or miss the opportunity to like do bad again as he did at Haas. So it might possibly see like Albon performing better than Mick for sure, because more experience and Albon is doing a really brilliant job, but not to end Mick's career. And the another point I like to bring is I think Alan Jones in the past said that nice guys don't win championships. And for me, Albon embodies the image of the nice guy. What is a really nice thing. But to win championships, you must be more like Max Verstappen or Alonso side, you know? So that's why I don't think Albon has this power to end others' career. So I think it's between 1 and 5. I think it's 1. I disagree.
I'm actually gonna go with 3, I think. We call that sitting on the fence.
Sit on the fence.
Yeah, because we don't want to pick a side. But I do believe that Mick could end up back in that seat. So that's like the agree side of that. But I don't know. Maybe a 2. Maybe I'm going to go with a 2 instead, actually. A 2. Okay. I'm not going to sit on the fence. I don't know. I agree. I don't think Alex has quite got it in him, that ferocious kind of attitude. Otherwise, he maybe could have brought that kind of attitude when he had his time at Red Bull.
And exactly.
So, yeah. Okay. You've convinced me. I'm going to go with the 2 as well.
Yeah.
All right.
But don't get me wrong. I think his charisma and his personality is really, really nice. He's such a nice dude. Everyone likes him. But I think some situations on Formula One, you must be the bad boy. The bad boy in some situations. And I think he missed when you were in Red Bull. That's why I don't get this feeling that he will end others' drivers' career. But I don't think also Albon is going to stay at Williams if he's still performing like that. I think some other team's going to grab him. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure Williams will want to keep him around, especially now.
Yeah.
But it depends if they can bring him a good enough car, I suppose, because he, like I say, he's driving beyond that car, that car's limits. So I guess we'll see on that one.
But where I don't know if I can ask you something, but where do you see Albon like driving in the future? Because the rumors were saying Ferrari, but I don't think Albon suits Ferrari, and Ferrari don't suits Albon at all, but we never know.
No, do you know, this was a take on last week's Hot Takes Wednesday, actually, about him going to Ferrari. And I said, I mean, it would be lovely. I'd love to see Alex in a top team again, because I don't think he got quite the fair chance when he went to Red Bull. He was, you know, he was still young. I don't think he was ready for it then. But I don't know. I could maybe like Alpine or something is probably his kind of like level at the moment. But it's just so difficult, because how can you tell when he's in a Williams right now? Like it'd be interesting to see what he would do if that car was any faster than it is.
Yeah.
But probably around Alpine, Mark, maybe McLaren. Although I'm a big McLaren fan. I would rather that driver lineup not change at the moment.
Yeah. Oscar is doing a really great job as well. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to say. I kind of see him at Aston Martin. But yeah. I don't think Stroll, of course, is not going to like that. So, I kind of see like Alonso and Albon, I think, will be a good pair. But it's really, the chances are almost 0. Unfortunately.
It depends if Lawrence wants to fire his son or not, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, so the next take is from Kenny, and it reads, Max and Checo are driving different cars. I'll say it again. Max and Checo are driving different cars. You can go first on this one.
Ooh, this one, it's... I'm gonna give 3 for this one, and I'm gonna explain why. Never know what happens in the behind the scenes, inside the garage, inside the factories. But we know that Formula One is always knows about having cheeky stuff. Let's say that, you know, it's the information sometimes it's very in a gray area and everything. So I don't fully agree, but I don't fully disagree. So I'm going to stand in a fence, is the way that you said.
Yeah, sit on the fence.
Yeah, because
honestly,
I don't think the car is different, but I think you know, the best mechanics, the best parts of the cars, the upgrades, always will come to the champion or for the guy who is performing better. It was always like that. I like to remember in the past when I was younger, watching Rubens Barrichello. He's Brazilian. We love him. I understand his career and he's really such a nice driver. And in that time, if he wasn't driving on the side of Schumacher, I think he could win at least one championship. But it was Schumacher. It was another level. You know, that doesn't make Rubens bad. It's just he was against one of the greatest. So I think Paris is pretty much the same scenario and is the same as Lewis and Bottas. But I think Bottas is 10 times worse than Perez and Rubens. But it's pretty much the same. And it makes so hard for the second driver trying to beat your teammate, knowing all these kind of things, knowing that, you know, the pit stops will be better. Because the last one, actually, Perez got like a really nice one, but he couldn't overtake Max. But yeah, I think every piece of the puzzle will be better for the first driver. So yeah, it's really hard to say, but I don't think it's different cars. I think it's just the setup. Everyone knows that Red Bull do the setup for Max, no matter who is driving by him side. But yeah, I don't think it's a different car. I just think that all these ingredients make look like the car is different, but I don't think it is. It's just like a matter of picking who we are going to put the maximum effort to win a championship. So it's sad because we want to see more wheel to wheel. But yeah, I think Perez didn't perform in the level for the team CA. Look, Perez can do a good job as well. It happened with Vettel and Weber as well, Rubens and Schumi, and yeah, Bottas and Lewis, and yeah, I think the only case that it was the opposite was 2016, Rosberg and Lewis, but I think the retirement of Rosberg showed us how Mercedes was choosing stuff inside the garage, you know. See, and I think he did the good thing, you know. He was like, I just won the championship. It was really hard. The mental game was tough. So I'm not gonna stay in this team to have another year like that, trying to beat Lewis, Mercedes, and Toto Wolff. It was like 3-1. So I think he just won, and then he was like, no, I'm done with it. It's my perspective about
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of read this take as if it was going from a they are trying to purposefully sabotage Checo kind of point of view. And those are the kind of things that I just cannot buy into. We've had all of these kind of conspiracies before in the past with Formula One. I remember there being a huge one between like Charles and Seb when they were both together at Ferrari. And we experienced it again, like not so long ago with like Lando and Daniel, where everyone was saying they were giving Daniel this awful car and that's why his performance was so bad. And I just don't believe that any team is purposefully sacrificing one of their drivers just to make, you know, their other driver look better or to make that one look bad. I don't know. I just don't buy it. F1 teams want to win. That's why they're there. Now, is that to say that the cars aren't built around one of the drivers? No, because they are, especially at Red Bull. That Red Bull is absolutely built around what Max needs as a driver. And Checo just has to learn to adapt to everything that they are throwing at him with that car. But I don't think there's any kind of like purposeful foul play or anything between the teams and the drivers. I just think that there's cars that suit other drivers. You know, we've seen it with like Daniel. He has admitted that that McLaren was set up in a way that he couldn't use. It didn't suit his driving style. So I think that's just the way Red Bull work. They set everything around Max. Of course, he's their champion. And, you know, but even so, like, even between teams, normal teams, the cars aren't, like, exactly the same anyway. If you want to adapt your car to your driver, like you said, there's little minor changes, there's different setups. You know, they adapt to what the driver feels most comfortable with, which is exactly what practice sessions are for. But an entirely different car, no. I can't buy it. I can't do it. So I'm actually going to give that one, if we're looking at it from a sabotage kind of view, I'm going to give it a one, because yeah, Red Bull can't hate Checo that much. He's second in the championship. Like, he's still up there regardless of whether he's had a couple of, you know, bad weeks and stuff, and the gap isn't too large, but he is still P2 in the championship, so they have no reason to do anything like that. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I like to imagine as well, for example, let's say Aston Martin, that they don't have reasons to sabotage or change the cars, because one guy is the son of the owner of the team. The other one is doing really, really great, getting podiums, getting points, trying to be third on a championship as well. So it's a kind of situation that you can't imagine, like Lawrence giving the upgrades and the best tools for Lawrence instead of Alonso. I think in this situation, they are giving the same tools for each of the drivers. But of course, one is more huge talent guy, two-time world champion. And the other one is just the rich dude who likes driving around. So it's kind of another scenario, but it's pretty much the same logic. I don't think it's wise just give all the tools for one and the other no. Like, Red Bull wouldn't do that, because I don't know. Let's say that Max get two or three DNFs by the end of the year, and Perez doesn't score points or whatever or less, Mercedes or even Aston Martin can catch them on a constructor championship. I don't think it's gonna happen, of course, but the kind of hypothetical situation.
Yeah. No, it would give their opponents a chance to snatch away those points and those podiums and wins and things. So yeah, exactly. Okay, so the next one is from Lewis, and it says 2023 has been the worst season in F1's modern history. I'll say that again. 2023 has been the worst season in F1's modern history.
You said the name of the guy is Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton. It's Lewis Hamilton. It's Lewis Hamilton saying that for sure.
Yeah, I did find that quite funny. So I'm going to go first, because we get a take along these lines literally every single week from especially the last, I don't know, 3 months. It's all just been that this season is awful. So I think people are bored, but I'm going to give quite a simple answer because I've answered it quite a lot. And then I'll put it to you, because this kind of topic really fascinates me and I want to know what you think. Do I think that this is the worst season ever in modern history? No. I think there are a lot of things to celebrate, particularly if you're a Red Bull fan. And even as an F1 fan, I can appreciate how amazing of a job Red Bull have done to get that car as dominant as it is. It is amazing. I like seeing records be broken. That's what they're there for. But am I bored? Yes. I hate that word, but I have realized this year that I really need some kind of battle at the front of the field, whether that be for a win or at least podiums, to, you know, for F1 to really excite me. I need it. So I can understand why people think this is one of the worst seasons, but I'll hand it over to you for a fresh opinion. What do you think?
I think we can like, how can I say, I think we can debate in very different aspects of it, but I kind of agree with you. I'm a big fan of Formula One. I don't like, I don't know the word, so help me out here, but I don't like when only one team or only one guy is winning all the time.
Dominance. Yeah.
I don't like that. I think it's very unhealthy for any sports in the world. Any sports. Because the word that you used, it's boring. So boring is not good for any sport. But we must understand that that's the why I made a joke about Lewis, the guy saying the take three. It's if this kind of sentence is coming from Mercedes fans, it's a kind of, you know, hey buddy, you guys were winning the last 8 years, and your guys are crying already. But I do understand. But on the other hand, we can't like not appreciate the efforts that Red Bull did, because before 2021 they were just seeing Toto Wolff and Lewis celebrating in every track. In the end of the year, the big party was on a Mercedes garage, and they weren't crying. They were just working towards to beat them. And they did, but what makes... So now we can try to see from different perspective. We had 2021. It was like a unique season. I don't think you're going to see something like that soon. And for those who follow Formula One from the past, and not just 2017 until now, but from the past, we know that like dominance is a part of Formula One. So we had Ferrari, we had Red Bull in 2010 until 13. We saw Mercedes. I think you're gonna see Red Bull until 2005. But for me, I'm trying to see from different perspective as well, because let's say that 2023 is without Max Verstappen. It's a really nice championship. We're seeing Hamilton against Alonso again. And this is such a nice thing. And you are seeing like Ferrari showing up in some races. So I think a part of Max and Perez doing what they are doing with this great car, I think we still have a championship. So we make a joke. So we are watching two different categories on the season: Red Bull, Formula One, and Formula One. So try to watch Formula One, you know, like it's Alonso is 1 point ahead of Hamilton, but Leclerc and Russell are tied, I think. Sainz and Norris. So I think this is still such a nice season. I don't think it's worse than 2019. 19 for me, it was a really boring one. And that's the thing. People say that, but Hamilton was fighting against Bottas. Come on, guys. It wasn't a fight. No way. I like to say that some people don't agree, but I don't understand. Bottas was never a rival of Lewis. Never. The same way as you can see Perez trying to, but I don't think he's going to be as Rosberg did in 2016. I fully disagree with this one. I think it's one, but it's boring, but no, I don't think it's like in a boring level. It can beat 2019 or even 2020. I know that it was a different season, just 17 races, I think, start pretty much in the middle of the year, but it was boring as well. It was pretty much only Hamilton winning. And 2019 and 20 for me was the worst ones. And I think, this is my opinion. Give back to you.
it's really funny for me. Like, I mean, as a McLaren fan, I've got to enjoy the small things, that I've got to take the little achievements, because at the beginning of this year, it was not fun. It was not fun at all. But now over the last couple of, you know, the last couple of races, McLaren's upgrades are really doing their job and they're coming into the fight. So that's exciting for me. And there is a fight. There is a fight behind Red Bull. But I find it really difficult to get excited about that. But I can see why people also do that as well. But I mean, this championship would be great. If Red Bull wasn't involved, this championship would be one of the best years, I think, because you'd have we would have had, three, four different winners from different teams. Like, it would have been insane. So, I mean, we can't just imagine that Red Bull aren't here, because they are here. But I get it. You can be excited for the things that are happening behind them as well. I would probably give that. I'm going to give it a 2, I think, because I disagree. I don't think it is the worst ever. And it could probably be a lot worse as well. We could have no battles for like P2 or P3 or anything. But I can't lie to myself and say that I haven't been bored at some point over this season. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a 2. What about you?
I think it's 1. But I think also it's kind of very unfair what FIA rumors are saying, that they're going to give up of the DRS on qualifying. I don't think it's fair for fans and also for Red Bull, who did such a nice job. It's not fair with Adrian Newey, who spent hours and hours drying the car, you know, like making the mats and everything. So I think the other teams must work twice now, trying to catch them, and changing rules like in the middle, I don't think is nice. As a fan, I think it would be good, but I don't think it's fair. You know, I stick with my ethical and morality stuff. I don't think it's fair, because they did a really good job, hard work. So I don't think it's fair, but yeah, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel the same about those kind of things.
I'm trying to do the same as you, trying to stick with the small things during a race, you know, like the Alpines, Aston Martin, craving for Alonso win one race this year will be amazing. And the thing that I try to do now is like trying to wishing a DNF for Max will be amazing. At least in one race.
One, yeah.
At least one. I hope he's in Brazil, you know, he to see something different. Same as we saw last year when Russell won and Lewis scored second, I think.
Yeah.
It was amazing atmosphere.
This is going off of the take a little bit, but do you think that Red Bull are going to win every race this season, or are you kind of holding out hope?
No, I don't think they're gonna win all their races. It's gonna blow fans' mind, but I don't think they will win every race this year. I think at least one. Something's gonna happen. Gonna happen, and they you know, yeah.
It's got to, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's too much, you know? At least one. So I think it's probably, I don't know, maybe Singapore is a really different track, different environment. Maybe Singapore or, I don't know, Vegas. Vegas is the first time that we're going to see in these last few years a race in Las Vegas. Of course, they had in the past, but now it's going to be a different track, different environment. So, yeah. I think Brazil, Japan, or Vegas, we can see something different. Brazil for sure, because I don't know what happened in Brazil, but every time happens something different there. So I'm hoping to see a different driver winning that race. I hope Alonso, or I don't know, maybe Lewis. But yeah. I want to be honest, I want to see Alonso on a podium one more time, like in the highest place. Let's see. Would be nice for the okay. sport and for him as well, to keep him pushing even more.
Yeah. Well, I'll be hoping that it's Lando that picks up that win, but Lando or Oscar. Lando. Yeah. Either one, I'll be happy.
I think anyway, everyone's like supporting whoever can get a win. Yeah. Everyone who can get a win, a part of Max, we're going to celebrate.
Or Checo. I don't want another Checo win either.
Yeah, no, not another Checo. Like, a part of Red Bull drivers, whoever got like a win, we're going to be very, very happy.
Yeah. Okay. Our fourth take of the day is from Holly, and it says Max will get so bored of winning in a Red Bull that he will challenge himself by signing his next contract with a midfield team. That's a really fun take, but I'll say it again. Max will get so bored of winning in a Red Bull, he will challenge himself by signing his next contract with a midfield team. Okay. Do you want to go?
I like crazy ideas and wild stuff. I think would be nice, you know. I'm gonna give you 5. I do agree, but yeah, it's a kind of a joke. I don't think we'll see that, but if it happened, it will be really nice, you know. Imagine like Max at AlphaTauri with Ricardo and Tsunoda at Red Bull alongside of Perez would be like crazy stuff, but so I'm on it. But I don't know. I think Max, the greatest motorsport races already done, like Le Mans, it's done, and Indy 500 as well. If it wasn't, and if I was Max with the championship already on his hands, I would go for one of these races and try to do something different for one race at least, you know. Like, I would miss one Formula One race to try a different category. And yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be really nice to see that.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same. I would love the idea of it happening, but I'd also like to see him swap into an AlphaTauri, although they're not exactly a midfield team at the moment, are they? They're more like bottom of the grid team. But I don't know, maybe into like an Alpine. Let's say have a swap with Esty Bestie. Let him go into the Red Bull and we'll see what he can do in an Alpine. But realistically, it's not going to happen. Max has admitted before we broke up for the summer break that he's not actually really bored. He quite likes going off and driving into the distance. And I think when he does eventually get bored, say this dominance keeps for, you know, until maybe like 2026, I think he'll just retire. He has kind of made little comments about wanting to retire earlier than you'd think he would have. He's mentioned about setting his own GT3 team up. He wants to expand on that. He loves endurance racing, as you said, the 24-hour. He loves sim racing. I just think he could go and expand his career into the things that he loves, and that will offer him a new challenge in life rather than just go into a rubbish car and try and win from 6th, 8th place or whatever. But hopefully it won't get to that point. And by the time that Max's contract does run out, he'll actually have some competition alongside him that will make him want to stay. And then we can have a good title fight again. But I'm going to give that one a good one. I don't see it happening at all.
Yeah. And I think I saw a guy on my YouTube channel. He gave us a comment about Max. I think Max has the chance to be the best racing driver in the world if he goes to different motorsport. For example, we had in the past Graham Hill, who won the Triple Crown. I think Max has a chance to do exactly like that. And I like to bring this to debate with fans that, let's say, Schumacher and Lewis has 7 world championships. 7 world championships on Formula One make them the best racing drivers in a row. I don't think so. Make them the greatest, maybe, on Formula One. But I think we must bring other drivers from different motorsports and check it out who is the best one. Because let's say, if you put like, that's why a lot of people like Alonso, because Alonso did really good things outside of Formula One. He won Le Mans, I think, and he's just missing Indy 500 to get the Triple Crown. Triple Crown, yeah, is the right name.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Max has the chance to do that if he wants. And I think, personally, to me, is going to make him the best driver that we saw in the last, I don't know, 100 years or something like that. Because he has the talent. He likes to... He's a very curious guy about other motorsports. And yeah, let's say he won 2 more Formula One championships. Like this year, he's going to win. Maybe next year. In an easy way, I think he's going to give a shot, at least for one year. Or maybe he's going to still driving for Red Bull, but going to try to do something different like Le Mans, Indy 500. I don't know. He's going to miss some Formula One races to do that. I think it's a really nice thing. I really want to see that, actually. It's something that it will blow my mind, seeing Max trying to achieve these kind of things. Maybe see him... Alonso, Max, and Lewis at Le Mans. Imagine that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I agree. I don't see Lewis, when he retires from Formula One, I don't see him doing anything else motorsport-wise. He's got so many other ventures, like, you know, his restaurants, and he's got brand deals and everything. He's got so much going on that I just don't think he would. I don't know. I think once he's done with motorsport, once he's done with Formula One, that will be it. But Max, as you said, I can see him. Like, I can just envision him in like Le Mans. He said he really wants to do it with his dad as well. He wants to run. He did say that IndyCar scared him a little bit. He wasn't sure on whether he wanted to do it, which is really funny because I think he'd be brilliant in IndyCar. I love Indy. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think he'd be amazing in that. But yeah, so are you going to go with a 1 for that one as well?
I like the idea, so I'm going to give 5. I agree.
Okie dokie. Okay, so our last hot take from this episode is from Bird Based, and it says points should go down to P20. And this person actually suggested that P1, you get 100 points. And then all the way down to P20, you get 1. So I'll repeat the take again. Points should go down to P20. Mm. So I'm going to go first on this one because okay. I quite like this idea. I have always been one of those fans that haven't overly cared about the technicalities of points and things like that. You know, I just kind of, I go into like a race and I just enjoy the racing. I just enjoy the motorsport and whatever the rules are, as long as they're followed, I don't care kind of thing. It's just kind of, I don't mind. But after watching the last 2 years of F1 and progressively getting more into IndyCar over the past 5 years or so, I can absolutely see an argument for points being all the way down the grid. Do I think they should be as extreme as this person suggested? No, because in F1's current state, that would mean that Max would probably end up with like 2,400 points at the end of the season. But I think how IndyCar have their point system is just spot on. You get a point for pole position, you get a point to any driver who's led a lap, and then if you finish P1, you get 50, and then it goes all the way down to 5 points for last place. It's spread out, like that field is just spread out so evenly, and it makes the championship so much more exciting because everybody is getting a point at some, like, you know, even like you get to 10th in Formula One, you get 1 point. What does 1 point like do? Whereas in Indy, you get 5 for finishing last. Like, I think I just love it. And if we're going to continue this cycle of domination, changing the rules, and then getting more domination and then changing the rules again, which is what Formula One is, there is absolutely no harm in trying out a new point system. Everyone keeps talking about, like we said earlier, about getting excited for the midfield battles. But imagine if they were fighting for more than just one point, and they were getting like, so I think it would be so much closer. That field would be amazing if they were all fighting for, I don't know, 5 to 20 points or something each race. So yeah, I bring it on. I want it to happen. I'd love it. What about you?
Look, honestly, I've never thought about that. I don't know. I'm very open-minded guy, so if they want to try it, I'm gonna watch it and see. But I can't say if it's gonna work or not. You know, I think Formula One is trying a lot of different things, so I think they should give a go. Or I don't know, maybe, for example, why not giving a point for the best lap on practice, for example? I think some of the guys in the back of the field is gonna try to go for a fastest lap on Friday, for example, to score 1 point, trying to beat each other in the back of the grid is something that they should try. Points go down to P20, I think is a nice thing as well, but I'm gonna stick with you. I don't think it must be like 100 points or it's way too much, but I think, yeah, trying to split the points in a fair way to the last one get 1 point, I don't know, two. But yeah, I think something, they should try different stuff for sure. I saw as well, I think was David Croft saying in a Sky Sports podcast that he want to see a kind of different championship on the sprint races. And oh, I think that's such a nice idea as well, you know, like two different like competitions in one. And yeah, I think it would be nice as well. I think some of the drivers in the back can go for that ones. And yeah, something like that. Some of the ideas, some of the fans' ideas comes with a lot of emotions only because they want to see something different. But sometimes it doesn't make any sense because we must think properly. But I think this one kind of, I think should give a shot. Try at least, you know. So I'm going to go with 4. I don't fully agree because I couldn't see the full image of it. But I'm going to go with 4. Close to fully agreement.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 4 as well. Because as much as I agree that I think it would be great to try, I'm not going to, you know, riot if nothing does get changed or they don't do anything about it. It would be nice to test out, sure. But if it stays the same, it stays the same. I'm not too fussed, really. And actually, on that, this just came to my head as well. If Max had 2,400 points, let's just imagine that for a second, because I was writing about this today for WTF1. Their super license, like a driver's super license, they pay a 10,400 euro fee plus 2,400 euros for every point scored in the previous season. So Max's super license for 2023 costs like almost a million. He had to pay 1 million basically to race this year, whereas Piastri, Hülkenberg and Logan Sargeant only had to pay 10,400 because that was just like the base rate. So if he had 2,400 points, he would be paying about 5 million, almost 6 million, just to race the next year.
He's going to sell his jet to drive.
Yeah. I don't know if, I don't know if Red Bull actually pay that super license fee. Some of them have like contract negotiations where they don't pay for the super license. But I can't imagine Red Bull would want to pay almost 6 million euros either for him to race. So, yeah, I mean, as well, talking about sprint races, just for an extra opinion, what do you think about sprint races? Do you like them?
I like it, but I think FIA and Formula One, they should trying to... It's a nice thing, but I think they're trying to change a little bit. I don't know if format or the timing of it, like when should be hosted on Friday, I think, as Croft said, I think must be on Friday, like Saturday and Sunday, like qualify, one practice for qualify and then race on Sunday. I think in the past was like that. And like on Friday, a kind of new event, like one sprint qualify and then sprint race, make as a new championship of sprints, give some rewards for the teams, you know, extra money by the end of the year, or I don't know. I like when the sports trying to do fair stuff. For example, NFL, NBA, the last ones got the first pick on a draft, something like that. And I think it's a really nice system for them. Works a lot because they can get the talents for the next year. So, you know, new talent for their teams. I think Formula One should try to do something like that. You know, like, for example, Red Bull should have just crazy idea, but less timing on practice. Who is the last? AlphaTauri, right? AlphaTauri should get more time on free practice, for example, something like that. Trying to just, not in a unfair way, but trying to change a little bit to be more equal. I don't know. I would like to see their Formula One trying at least. Let's try. Try is not a problem for the fans, you know? Guys, we tried. It didn't work. You guys saw on TV. So we're not going to go for that. So we're going to try something different now. And so on. I think it's people are too afraid to try new things. And most of the fans want to see them trying different stuff. So, yeah. This is my view of it, actually. I think they should... I like sprint, actually, but I think they just change a little bit some of it.
I am not the hugest fan of them because I don't think that they really gain anything from them. So if we were going to keep the sprints, I would like to see a reverse grid.
Yeah, it's a good idea, yeah. Too.
Yeah,
it's really a good idea.
I just want them to try it, like try it and let us see what if it works. But it's almost as if they don't want it to work, so they won't try it because they don't actually want to go down that route. But I think it will get to a point. So many fans ask for a reverse grid, like just give it to us.
Yeah,
we just want to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the fans want to see refuel as well. They want to see a lot of wild stuff again. Some, it's part of FIA and Formula One filter these ideas, and I bet they have even more ideas than the fans. It's part of their job, filter it and see what suits and what is not going to work. But at least they should try. So I don't know if they do a sprint race on Fridays as a unique event, separate from the Formula One main race. I think they should try reverse grid and all these kind of things, you know. But yeah, let's see what's going to happen in the future. I think I like to say to my friends that Formula One now is like a famous TV show. For example, Game of Thrones, for example. Every season we had something different and wild.
Yeah.
Same as Lost. Do you remember Lost from...
I loved Lost.
I loved Lost. And look, that's the thing. Formula One is trying to do something like that. You know, every season they're going to put some new ingredient. So now we have the hype of Audi being on Formula One. We saw Ford having an agreement with Red Bull. I think in September they're going to figure it out if the 11th and maybe 12th team on a grid.
Yeah, possibly.
So they're going to keep this hype, you know, this kind of ingredients to make you to watch next season. So I think it's a nice thing, but also I think they should try to do something during the season as well, as like the TV shows that we like it, you know, because now it's in the hands of the Americans. And one thing, would you, I don't know if you like or not, but one thing we can't say, they know how to put a show in everything that they touch. So I think it's Formula One is towards to that too. And they are, I think, until now, doing a great job. Of course, some things I do not agree, but until now, it's been nice, actually. It's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is everything that we have time for on this week's episode of Hot Takes Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining me this week. You made my experience hosting a podcast very easy. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course. And you did such a nice job.
Thank you.
It was really hard for me, you know, because English is not my first language, but you helped me a lot, you know, and thank you very much. I hope everyone likes, and thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, I was honestly quite nervous, but I really enjoyed that as well. And we hope you guys at home listening did too. We will be back next week to discuss more of your spicy takes. And Dre will finally be back as well. But until then, goodbye.
Bye.